Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, we just got a text in from Mike Wood at the Pensacola Police Department that PPD has arrested Breedlove, so that's great news. Another criminal off the streets. We'll take it. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, and he always joins us to preview the movies that have come out this weekend. Hey, Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, I'm pleased to say I've managed to continue to evade the law enforcement.
So. Yeah, you've evaded capture so far. Well done. Well done. Yeah. Four movies
I'm
this week.
From an undisclosed location. And,
a bunker deep in the Merrill complex. Four movies this week that may not all be fantastic ones. Haunting in Venice is up first. Any good?
Yeah, so this is the third in the series of Hercule Poirot adaptations from Kenneth Branagh, who has directed and starred in these. Started with, I've forgotten what the first one was even called now.
Wasn't it Murder on the Orient Express?
Murder on the Orient Express. And then we had Death in Venice that kind of like, they kind of like trickled that release out because Armie Hammer was in it and he had all that nasty stuff that happened with him. And it kind of came out and kind of went to streaming and kind of got ignored. And so now we've got a third one. Once again, star-studded with Michelle Yeoh, recent Oscar winner, playing a prominent role in this. Tina Fey is in this. Jamie Dornan. So he's managed to, manages to continually get these great casts for these films. You know, Armie Hammer's, let's say, foibles aside, he was at the time a good catch when they signed him for that film, and Gal Gadot was in it, et cetera, et cetera. These are managed to remain remarkably consistent, getting pretty decent reviews, around 77% on Rotten Tomatoes for this one. There are people that love these movies. There are people that just absolutely hate these movies. I'm kind of in the middle. I think they're decent, and I think the reviews kind of reflect that as well. They're not... Okay. Nobody's winning any Oscars on these, but nobody's going home with their tail between their legs or anything like that.
I gotcha. The Retirement Plan is another offering this week?
Yeah, it's September. We're going to get a lot of stuff that's just get dumped out into theaters, and this appears to be one of them, despite, again, decent cast, including our good friend Nick Cage is one of the stars of this. Not screened for critics on this one, so you can always kind of guess where that goes, but... kind of an action thriller comedy with these two women that get caught up in a crime. They go to their estranged dad, who is played by Nick Cage, who's kind of a beach bum, and find out that there's a lot more to him than they know about.
Okay. All right. You scratch the surface and you find there's more Nick Cage underneath there. Camp Hideout. What's this?
This is a family film, with a bunch of people who kind of used to have careers.
although
in fairness, the lead counselor in this is Corbin Blue, who a lot of people probably remember from the High School Musical films.
Okay.
Who's now in his 30s. He's getting ready to be on Broadway or just off Broadway in Little Shop of Horrors, starring opposite Constance Wu. So he has had a continued stage career. It's about this kid who steals this high-tech device from these criminals. He goes and hides out at a summer camp. Corbin Blue is one of the counselors, and the camp is owned by Christopher Lloyd. Again,
I have seen an ad for this.
Great actor who's kind of slumming. It's kind of like, it seems to me like it's kind of like one part Home Alone at summer camp, one part... teen angst. Iffy on this. Again, not screened for critics.
Okay. And finally, The Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yeah, this is starring Michael Jai White, who I think came to a lot of people's attention first in the Spawn movie back in the 90s. But have since had kind of an interesting career balancing action movies and like a lot of like spoofy comedy action movies. I don't know if you saw the film Black Dynamite that he was part of. That was just a great parody of blaxploitation.
It was
film.
Really good. Yes.
This appears to be kind of a Western spoof with him in the lead role, and getting okay reviews, running about 65% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Very good. What are you going to watch next week?
Well, there's more stuff getting dumped out. We haven't quite made a decision yet, but if you check out our Facebook group, when we make a decision, it will be up there.
It's the lukewarm temperature movie time. All right, fair enough.
We're basically all just waiting for Taylor Swift's concert movie to come out.
That's nice. All right.
What's going to save the entire industry for the fall, basically. Although the reissue of Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads concert film, is also coming out in a couple weeks, and hoping we get that here in Pensacola as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Julio Diaz hosts Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturday, and also he is the host/creator of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook. My friend, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, 816 News Radio 92.3, Transgressors Memorial Service is up next. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any delays right now. 98's clear from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. 3-mile bridge not showing any delays either. General Chappie James, same bridge. It's all good now. 437-1620. If you have those traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Darrell Sewing of Pensacola. Darrell Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Darrell Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for climate scientist Dr. Patrick T. Brown, who recently published a paper in the journal Nature showing the terrible effects climate change is having on wildfires. Now, obviously, that part is fine. The problem is he then wrote a horrible editorial in the Free Press claiming that his paper deliberately ignored findings about other causes that affect wildfires because he believed that gatekeeper journals like Nature and Science are only interested in papers that reinforce the narrative that climate change is ruining everything and that reducing greenhouse gas emissions is the only solution for these problems. Now, obviously, we have no issue with either of those two core tenets of our own faith, and we also don't even have any objection to Nature and Science conditioning researchers through their acceptance and rejection patterns that only articles which advance such orthodoxy will get published. The problem is Dr. Brown said all of this out loud. Obviously, the entire apparatus of academia and publishing is designed to encourage research which preaches our truth about climate change. But just as obviously, the public can't know this because they need to believe that papers like his get published only because they represent good, fair, unbiased science and not because of any selection bias by the editors. Look, we haven't spent all these decades secretly infiltrating the halls of higher education to shape the entire field of scientific research and publishing just to have some upstart malcontent overly fixated on researcher neutrality to openly expose our scheme when we're just on the brink of total social control. This is no time to reveal the nature of our glorious propaganda machine to the public. The public! They have to believe the game is fair. But the future of the planet is far too important to entrust the outcome to something as unpredictable as open inquiry and unbiased scientific research. No, ma'am, not on our watch. Dr. Patrick T. Brown, we hereby canceleth thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who was then.
Second, the Minnesota state flag. Because the state seal at its center contains some pretty horrible imagery. In case you haven't seen it, the white supremacist seal depicts a settler plowing his field next to a tree stump with an axe in it, meant to represent both the farming and logging industries of Minnesota. However, in the background, there is a Native American warrior wearing a loincloth and sporting an eagle feather in his long black braided hair, riding on horseback, brandishing a spear, who seems to be galloping away because the farmer has scared him off with the musket and powder horn that are leaning up against the stump. Now, even though it is historically accurate to depict conflict between the white settlers and the indigenous peoples, since natives were moved onto reservations in the early 1800s and subsequently waged violence against the settlers during the six-week-long Dakota War of 1862, during which the Santee Sioux Indians murdered 600 white settlers and took 300 women and children hostage in an effort to drive them from the Minnesota River Valley, but we obviously can't show this historical fact on a flag and state seal these days. So a picture that represents the violence at the heart of Minnesota's historical relationship between whites and Indians is certainly not acceptable. As Fort Bunner's excellent encyclical on revisionist iconography reminds us, in order to change the past, we must show people pictures of what we want them to believe, not what actually happened. And how can we nurture a fictional belief that settlers and natives were really besties if we keep reminding people that displacement and violence, spears and guns are the real truth of the matter? How dare your historical pictures actually teach history? Also, of course, it is worth noting the obvious problems of having firearms portrayed in a positive light on a flag that might fly in classrooms across Minnesota, let alone the triggering images of trees so brutally chopped down in their prime, or of a person sporting stolen eagle feathers or wearing no shirt. Aside from the reinforcement of the myth of the savage native, this attire is clearly a violation of the student dress code. No, the Minnesota flag must go, and something less historically forthright should be put in its place. Perhaps natives and settlers holding hands, singing a song, or playing cribbage together in front of a rainbow representing the aspirational harmony of race relations in the land of 10,000 lakes. That would be perfect. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to offer our highest commendations and encouragement to the brave governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham, for doing her very best to solve the gun violence culture plaguing Albuquerque, the city of otherly love. Grisham boldly declared a public health emergency and banned the open or concealed carry of firearms for 30 days, even though she has been criticized by members of both parties and had her courageous effort at executive action declared unconstitutional by U.S. District Judge David Urias. We want to celebrate this fine example of heroic leadership. Yes, it didn't work, and it might even get her impeached. But this only proves how meritorious it was. As the seventh precept of logical inversion teaches us, failure is success, because the biggest successes always start as the biggest failures. Thus, you can only know you will succeed in the end by how bigly you fail in the beginning. But this smart effort to move the needle in Albuquerque also illustrates another of our key beliefs. We must always be seen to be doing something, since you cannot virtue signal by doing nothing at all.
I have to take a tough, direct stand where basically I'm just ignoring the fact that we lost an 11-year-old. Another child.
That's exactly right. In the face of tragedy, it's always better to pretend to be helpful by trying to do the prohibited thing than it is to show respect for the law by not doing something it forbids. Besides, since we know that freedoms like the right to keep and bear arms come from the government and not from anywhere else, government can only take away those rights whenever it's convenient. So good for you, Governor Lujan Grisham. Even though you exceeded your legitimate political authority, violated the Constitution, alienated yourself from members of your own party, and have completely failed to actually accomplish your objectives, these minor and temporary setbacks can only mean the greatest of success in your future, even if that isn't in politics. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart the service today, please keep the Swansons in your meditations, as their youngest birthing person was caught red-handed in school reading a Harry Potter book. I know! Worse yet, Renee Swanson appears to have actually bought the dreaded work by She Who Shall Not Be Named and given it to her daughter personally. Now, Renee and her husband Renee immediately apologized to the school and to this fine congregation, but we are concerned their repentance may be unatonable. Time and sufficient monetary donation to approved political candidates can only tell. Refreshments this week are provided by Clora Phillips, a minority-owned agricultural co-op whose specialty is a gut-healthy green paste made from organic non-GMO Brussels sprouts, cruelty-free asparagus, and the gluten-free paste of hand-milked soybeans. You can literally spread it on anything. And this week, they've brought us some millet and cantaloupe rind crackers to prove the fact. And let me tell you, when you bite into this fabulous combo, you will really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
826, News Radio 92.3.
The hand-milked what? Oh, my God.
Hand-milked soybeans, I think it was. I don't know.
It was hand-milked
soybeans. I kind of like Chlorophyllips as the green paste manufacturer.
Yeah, I did too. Chlorophyllips, I got that. Oh,
time
you.
For traffic on the fives.
Yeah, as we take a look around, good news is we're not showing many of those slowdowns or delays. Anderson Subaru needs your car. It's brought to you by Anderson Subaru, and they're going to pay more than ever before. Anderson Subaru, that's where your adventure begins. Begins here. 98 clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze, and taking a look in Pea Ridge, Bell Lane, Sterling Way, and in Milton, Cyanamid Road, and Mulot Road. All clear. Caroline Street clear, too. Stewart Street also checking in without delays. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. Text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. I see some of my favorite people have arrived.
We have
for the wrap today, we're going to have Christian Rhodes, friend of mine, and Dave Peach, former county commissioner.
Yes.
It's going to be the All Navarre
Parker
show today.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, Commissioner Parker, wrap it up. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
U.S. auto workers are striking at three of Detroit's major car companies. Striking workers are in front of one plant in Wayne, Michigan.
I was upset because we want to stay here and work, but we want our deal, we want our money. So we got to come out here and do what we got to do.
And the strike is halting production of the Ford Bronco, Jeep Wrangler, and Chevy Colorado. Right now, President Biden expected to make remarks about the strike later today. Viral music sensation Oliver Anthony has canceled a show in Knoxville, Tennessee, over the venue's high ticket prices. The singer posted on social media today that he lost his, well, when he saw the tickets were being sold for $90.
Another word for cool that starts with S and ends in T.
Yes.
Thanks.
Tickets apparently were being sold for this show for $90, and a meet and greet was being priced at $200. Of course, if you remember his song, Rich Men North of Richmond, he's kind of a working man's musician. He said tickets to his show should never cost more than $25. Meet and greets should be free.
Right.
So now he's canceled that show. He's looking to find another venue there that can accommodate his ticket prices.
I don't want your exorbitant prices on my tickets to my shows. What I want is streaming money.
I'll tell you, at least he sticks to what he wants.
That would be very off-brand for him to overcharging people at these venues and... I mean, it's very much on brand for him to pitch a fit over this.
It is. And I do have one more story. A state senator here in Florida has proposed a new state law that would require all boaters to take a boating safety course. It would create a designation on your driver's license to show you've taken it. Currently, this course is required if you're born after 1988 or for anybody who rents a boat in Florida. But boat owners who were born before then were grandfathered in. This is one boater's reaction.
Well, it upsets me, and I'm not going to go get a card. I've been boating all these years. I don't think that card's going to make me a safer operator. I'd run the risk of getting a ticket. Come get me.
And
that sounds like a very Florida response.
It really does. But if this were to pass, it would mean that all boaters, including people who've been on the water for years, would either have to take the course or provide proof that they've already taken it.
Yeah, and I know when we rented, we always had to pass something, so they were, good operators that we rented from. David, thanks so much for the update. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, I talk about Christine Leavenworth a lot, and I probably don't do enough talking about the people that she surrounded herself with on her team. I mean, I say it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. But I probably talk because I know Christina the best out of any of them. But this was a review written by a woman named Nicole on the Leavenrinke Realty website about a different realtor that was part of Christina's team. Caitlin says, the best experience buying my first home. I'd use Caitlin again any day and recommend her to everyone. I was hesitant about buying, but this was the most stress-free process. She helped work out all the details. She knew I was set on a particular house and helped me go for it, checking in along the way to make sure I was okay. The biggest thing for me was when my dad flew in from Texas. She helped him surprise me after not seeing him for almost 2 years. She treated us like friends and family, not like a client. Man, and that's the thing. You know, Christina, like, she's great, okay? Above and beyond, careful, caring, and she has surrounded herself with like-minded and lighthearted people, or like-hearted people like herself. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A United Auto Workers strike starts with walkouts at three plants to start, a Stellantis plant in Ohio, General Motors in Missouri, and Ford in Michigan.
About 13,000 union members are involved in this first round of walkoffs. The big three say that they do believe that they put forth some very generous packages. Contract talks, they are not expected to happen at all today, but they will resume again on Saturday.
Robin Murdoch with Fox 2 Detroit in Wayne, Michigan. A storm's approaching the New England coast.
Hurricane Lee bringing rough surf, high waves, coastal flooding, beach erosion, the risk for tropical storm force winds, some storm surge, and even tropical tornadoes as the heavy rain bands scrape eastern New England. The system is expected to make landfall in eastern Canada, but folks in the Northeast should monitor Lee's path.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, the storm's maximum sustained winds now about 85 miles an hour. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 831, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. The man wanted for two stabbings in Georgia has now been arrested here in Pensacola. 43-year-old Robert Breedlove is accused of stabbing his brother and another woman with a screwdriver, then stealing her car. That car was found here in Pensacola. PPD reports officers did arrest Breedlove this morning. The woman that was stabbed reportedly is recovering in an ICU in a Georgia hospital. Somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000 may be missing from the Pine Forest High School cheerleading coffers. Escambia County School District officials have not commented on the investigation, but they have discussed a little bit about their accounting processes.
We want to make sure that we can follow that. We followed our processes. And if that's not, if we can't uncover things in our audit and things like that, then it may be necessary to open an investigation.
That is Deputy Superintendent Sheena Payne. She talked with Channel 3. The Sheriff's Office continues to investigate. So far, no suspects have been identified. Two cheerleading staff members did abruptly resign recently. In the aftermath of a Pensacola mother being charged with child abuse for having deplorable conditions at her apartment, the Gulf Coast Kids House says Escambia County fares slightly worse than the nationwide average when it comes to suspected child abuse.
Here in Escambia County, 1 in 9 children are experiencing abuse or neglect before they turn 18. So the national average is 1 in 10, but here in Escambia County, we're seeing 1 in 9.
Philanthropy manager Randy Lawrence tells Channel 3 that on an annual basis, DCF gets over 7,000 reports of child abuse in Escambia County. 30-year-old Shisha Knight remains in jail after Escambia County deputies said they found a cockroach infestation, maggots, soiled mattresses, and dirty diapers on the floor at that apartment. Well, it's frustrating. That is the sentiment over at the Escambia County Fleet Maintenance Department. Several vehicles, including buses and ambulances, have all been down with fuel injector problems. All the vehicles have Cummins diesel motors.
We've had to scramble a little bit. I've moved some of my public works fleet down to ECAT and also EMS. We're handling EMS's fleet as well. And so we've had to make a more concerted effort, bring in some outside contractors and vendors to help replace these fuel injectors and get these vehicles back on the road.
That is County Administrator Wes Moreno, and he says he's been in daily contact with Cummins. They're working out if those repairs will be covered under warranty or the costs will be reimbursed. And so far, the cause of the issues hasn't been determined, but the best guess is just a combination and a change in how diesel fuel is manufactured and the type of injectors used in those motors. Now, the message from PPD is loud and clear. Make sure your vehicle's locked. This is after more burglaries were reported this week.
We've talked about it until we're tired of it, but we're going to have to keep talking about it. We had some vehicle burglaries overnight, and one of them was left unlocked, and guess what? A weapon was taken out of it, a gun.
That's PPD spokesman Mike Wood, and he says it's dangerous to leave your weapons unsecured as they're often used in crimes when they're stolen. It is legal to leave a weapon in your vehicle, but Mike Wood says if it's stolen and later used in a homicide, it could be on your conscience. It is 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
It's fine. I've had my vehicle broken in twice and both times unlocked like an idiot. So,
it's happened to me,
know,
too.
I'm telling you.
The one time you don't think about it is when it'll happen.
I'm saying, man, you big jerks. The Steelers, that is, the Robbers. Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. 98 accident-free. Not showing any problems on 90, I-10, I-110, all clear. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We do have some scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. 50% chance of rain overall. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, dropping near 73 degrees. For Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 70s. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton.
The I-10 Wire Summer returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. The Southeast Premier Cybersecurity Conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes AFCEA TechNet Cyber Coast Track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wire.com for tickets and event information.
Your money now. The market down at the opening bell today. The Dow is down 2503 at 348.8208. S&P 500 down 1627 at 448.8883. The NASDAQ down 6034 at 13865.71. 10-year bond rate is up slightly at 4.32%. Gold price is up 1330 at 1,946.10. Silver prices are up slightly at 2336 today. Bitcoin down a couple hundred bucks, down 203.33 at 26,443.60. And a trend known as friendly fraud is considered the cost of doing business for a lot of retailers. It's eating into a lot of profits, though.
Anti-fraud company Riskify polled 300 global companies and found law.
Not sure what happened there. Some problems with that audio, apparently. Former Anaheim, California Mayor Harry Sidhu is expected to plead guilty today on federal corruption charges. He's been charged with obstruction of justice, wire fraud, and lying to federal investigators. And, you know, we learned the other day about MGM in Las Vegas falling victim to a cyber attack. Apparently, Caesars in Las Vegas was also the target of the same attackers.
The casino giant now saying hackers breached their firewalls and hijacked critical data that includes social security and driver's license numbers for customers who signed up for their loyalty program.
And reports are that Caesars paid about half of a $30 million ransom demanded by the hackers after that cyber attack late last month. It is 8:38, our next news at 9 o'clock, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip. The hip,
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay. Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Who says that? Who says Commissioner Parker, wrap it up? That sounds like the voice of former County Commissioner District 4 Dave Peach. Is that who that is?
That is it.
Who it is.
Now, I think Kristen has a special request.
I would like to hear it in person.
We have Kristen Rhodes, who is also a longtime friend, former executive director, CEO of the Gulf Breeze Chamber, right? Okay. And now realtor. Okay.
Realtor, yes.
Very good. So you had a request for our former commissioner?
I do. I need to hear it live and in person.
You got it, Kristen. Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
And we're in the South, so it's polite.
That's right. So it's polite. Oh, man, Sam's dying if he's listening.
Morning, Sam.
Morning, Sam.
So, as I say, we got a couple of friends in here for the wrap. This is when we talk about the events of the week and just kind of hang out and pretend that we're having coffee or beers or, you know, whatever else might be appropriate these days. This is, weirdly, this is going to be the all-Navarre edition. Both of you live in Navarre. Yes. Doesn't mean that's all we're going to talk about, but there's a lot of Navarre stuff that we don't get into as much as we could. So let's start with the easy stuff. The community access road, the parallel alternate road to divert traffic off of Highway 98 as a bypass. This week on Monday, a bunch of residents showed up, and they were angry because their street was going to be one of the contenders to be turned into from the 25 to the 35 mile an hour street and widened and striped and, you know, made into a busy thoroughfare. And they were upset about this. This is something that you guys have been working on for a long time. I mean, you're not anymore because you're not in office, but thoughts on this?
I mean, people complain about traffic all the time, Andrew. And
I had never noticed.
Exactly. And if you look at Navarre, I mean, it's an island, really. You got 98 and you got 87. That's yep. it. You know, so anyone leaving Holly by the Sea, where I live, or any of those areas, to get to Walmart, I have to go on 98. So you're flooding 98, which is already overcrowded, with these little connector roads, as they're called. And they're not four-lane superhighways that semis are going to be barreling down. But it just makes it easier for folks that live within that community get to Walmart Marketplace or get to the shopping centers without traversing onto 98, because folks complain, well, I can't get on 98, the lights take too long. Well, 98's the major thoroughfare, they get the right of way. So this started before I was in office. FDOT partnered with the county to do the feasibility study. Now FDOT's partnering to do the PD&E, which will look at, hey, what's the best option? Where are the environmental impacts and things like that? And the plan all along has been to be a two-lane road with a median, sidewalks, streetlights.
A median? Like a raised median?
Yeah, in the middle.
Oh, okay.
A little landscaped median, because what you do to slow people down is how you design the road.
Narrow them.
You make it a little more narrow. You put a roundabout in instead of a stop sign. Natural things that force people to slow down. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way the county laid it out many years ago, and there's problems with the way they laid some things out, but all those roads have 100, 120-foot rights-of-way already.
Oh, so they're designed for expansion.
They're designed for expansion. That's what you do with your planning and your zoning, is you go, hey, we're not going to build this road now and hope people come. But you don't, you know, encumber yourself and put a 20-lane or 20-foot wide road,
right,
and then have to buy people's property all along. Like High School Boulevard, you could plow a 3-lane down High School Boulevard right now and not touch anybody's private property.
Hmm.
So let the PD&E study go through, see what they got designed, you know, or what they come up with proposals, and discuss it. Give input. It's like the 4-lane through Milton. Some of these things are necessary, and how to make it the best possible is to get involved early, be a part of the process, name your concerns, and work with the designers to make it happen.
Yeah, shape how the conclusion you don't want happens, because you can't stop the conclusion from happening.
Exactly.
That's the issue.
Exactly.
I understand the concern of residents, especially when you think, okay, there's all these roads that this could possibly be on, when there's really not, if you really take a look at it. But why me?
It's what, like there's two or three that are in the like final running three?
Right. Okay. There are really not a lot of options, but when it's your street, you feel like, why am I the one that's going to be inconvenienced by this? My kids play in the front yard. What kind of safety concern is this going to have? And so, one, being a realtor and knowing that people were going to think about their property values, or how is this going to affect me being able to sell my house down the road or whatnot, being on a busier road now when it was a quiet road, the safety of my kids, things like that. I understand those concerns, but like Dave said, get involved and really learn before you just come out. And I'm not saying that these people came out to complain without educating themselves first,
sure.
But really learn, because you might learn in the end, you may like what happens with your road, because let me tell you, people are not driving the speed limit down any of those roads right now.
Right.
So if those improvements happen, it will probably force them to go slower and make your road a little bit more beautiful, a little bit safer. And so it could really benefit them in the end.
Yeah, these are, and I won't say, as you say, any particular folks, I can't say, but they might well be the people who would be asking for speed humps or speed bumps to slow traffic down. Mm-hmm. When a better solution would be actually to design the road better. And, you know, it might be somewhat faster officially, but faster officially versus what they drive now may not be any difference in the end. What I was thinking about, and I mean, this is, of course, somebody's going to, well, let's assume their view, somebody's going to suffer, okay? But I think about that all the time when I drive down roads where I'm like, God, I would never want to live on this road. And there's houses with driveways that pull out to it. And, of course, some of those roads, those houses were built before that was a four-lane road or before that was a 35-mile. You know, the road got expanded, and we enjoy it now. But, man, you know, I wouldn't want to live exactly on it. So I really get where people are coming from. But as you say, Dave, somebody is going to have to endure it. Otherwise, you just continue to get the horrible traffic.
Exactly. And, you know, I put a lot of sidewalks in when I was in. They're finishing now. There were folks who, you know, screamed for sidewalks. And there were folks who were saying, I don't want a sidewalk in front of my house.
Sure.
Because someone's going to walk in front of my house.
Right.
So you're always going to have, you know, the one that's impacted or not. You look at the sidewalks I put in now on Edgewood and to the new school. They're packed. People are out enjoying them.
They were walking on them when they were under construction.
So that's good. You found a good place.
Dry. They found the dry sidewalk, so there's not cement footprints everywhere. But
and you know, years ago, Holly by the Sea hired off-duty Santa Rosa County deputies to do speed control within Holly by the Sea, paid out of the HOA's funds.
Okay.
It was over 90% of the speeding and blowing stop sign tickets were residents of Holly by the Sea.
Of course, it's the residents who know they're sick of having to take too long. It's, you know, like in my subdivision, I know that there's one stretch where there's like one guy who always complains about the people driving fast through that area. Well, that's not visitors.
Right.
That's the people who are there, and they're like, why do we have to go so slow? I mean, of course, that's the way that works. We've got Kristen Rhodes and Dave Peach here in the studio with me for the wrap. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Taking a look on 98 all the way through Navarre and Holly by the Sea. Everything is clear right now. What a blessed day. Probably because you two are in here. I'm totally kidding. There's no need for another road.
Everything's good.
See, 29 is accident-free from the Atmore cutoff down to the split at Pace Palafox and all the way through. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent.
Thanks so much, Candy. The Land Development Code, something Santa Rosa County Commission, they took up in a big revision while you were in office. It was a mess because instead of doing a side-by-side, you completely reorganized the whole thing. So it was very hard to know what provision A in the first code matched up with on page 483. You know, it was very difficult to do. They're now in the process of redoing it, although the redos I don't think are very big. There are like a few things here and there that they're tinkering with. One of the things they're tinkering with maybe is the ban on bars coming and opening on 98. If they're within a half mile provision, 2,500 feet.
2,500.
You have to be more than 2,500 feet away from a school or a church, and which creates a 5,000-foot diameter, you know, almost a mile diameter barrier. And with the number of schools and the number of churches, that almost eliminates the possibility of opening any bars. Now, of course, Santa Rosa was a dry county for a long time, and people argued you let alcohol, and all of a sudden we'll be wanting to put alcohol everywhere. Commissioner Wright wants it to be one parcel distance. And I think, I'm trying to remember what they actually put into the recommendation. The meeting's going to be next Monday where the commissioners are going to talk about this. But the basic question is it okay to have more bars, even if they wind up being close to schools or churches on Highway 98? Thoughts, Kristen?
I definitely think there needs to be some revision in the code for this. If you think about, it's not just a bar. It could be a restaurant with that serves alcohol as well. So it's not just what you're thinking of, oh, that bar's going to open at 10, 11 in the morning, and there's going to be people out there drinking and leaving when the kids are out, you know, going home from school and stuff like that. That's not the norm.
Right.
You know, that's not what you're looking at. But you're preventing restaurants potentially from going in, which people always say we don't have enough restaurants and we don't have enough places to go. Well, restaurants are more profitable when they are able to serve alcohol as well.
Really? And, are you sure? Is that true?
Econ 101.
And it's something that customers actually want. They want to be able to have a beer or a glass of wine with their meal. Okay, all right, go ahead.
It's hard to believe, but you're limiting successful businesses from being able to operate and provide more amenities for residents in the community when you have more restrictive covenants like that. When I know that there's one parcel in Navarre, in Midway area, that the American Legion was actually looking at going into because they had to move their facility.
Right.
They weren't going to be able to because they serve alcohol it was too close to a church, mm-hmm. and so they could not go into that building that has been sitting vacant for years and years and years. So, and I also know of another church that is in a little strip mall that also has a restaurant there. The church came in after mm-hmm. the restaurant was there. They have no problems at all, and I've spoken with that pastor. They have no problems being in a very close vicinity. So I definitely think it's something that needs to be amended.
And I got a text in here from Commissioner Wright who says it's also it eliminates the possibility of a bowling alley.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, maybe the unintended what you didn't realize, but oh, so that would be kind of nice to have if somebody was willing to do it. But the problem is, where would you build one? And the answer is nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, I fully support Commissioner Wright on this. He is spot on. That's what we hear. Kristen said, we want more restaurants. We want, you know, we don't want storage lockers. It's not going to be a problem. Separate it by a parcel. Colton's got a great plan, you know, and be a parent. There's churches that serve wine. Oh, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole religious thing.
It's the after.
But,
the after, you know, is wine, not the before.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I don't want to get into that whole religious thing, but you got to look at what makes sense. And property in Navarre is limited. There's commercial property vacant all along Highway 98. And I've talked to restaurants when I was in office. We don't want to come there because we can't build a, you know, put a bar in with our food service and things. And I worked with several places, a cigar shop that wanted to have beer in a cooler. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to draw it out on a map to make sure they were 2,500 feet from the front door by the most direct route, right, down the sidewalk, cross the street. You know, it's convoluted to try and get that in. And these business owners are like, I wouldn't do it again if I had the money.
You know, we had one of my favorite restaurants in Pensacola actually went away, the Burger Factory, at least in part. My understanding in part is because they could never get a liquor license because they happened to be across the street and down a little bit from a school.
Right.
And, you know, who doesn't want to have a beer when they go to a burger place?
Exactly.
You know, and so they'd have like shakes, but still, I mean, you know, you're throttling or strangling businesses that obey the rules, and you're preventing businesses who might be able to benefit from a change in them. Yeah, I'm with you. But then again, I still think the idea of a dry county is a little bit, you know, quaint. There are some people who still have the idea, like, everything we can put in the way of becoming you know, Strip Club Row, Pensacola. It's kind of the, you know, the home of debauchery, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And just to be clear, the ordinance would not permit strip clubs, which are still prohibited in Santa Rosa County. And right. I'm fine with that one. That one doesn't. Yeah. They are completely illegal in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah.
I never thought about it.
So, yeah. 437-1620. One of the other things in the Land Development Code that I think is interesting is this question of billboards. And the changes proposed are for certain kinds of roads, you know, major connector roads like Chemuckla Highway and Woodbine, that are eventually going to be four lanes, as we just got the parcel bought this week. That's great.
Yep.
So they're going to expand the size of a billboard there can be. And also there's a potential to frequency, like have them more often, you know, the distance between them being less. Now, the way I understand this problem is, partially it's about, do you want more billboards or not? But partially it's also about the monopoly. I mean, you have an advertising monopoly right now because of who owns all of the billboards and even the future billboards, because you have a, what is it, cap and replace.
Yep.
So they don't just have all of them, but they have all of the ones you even could make. And therefore, you have no competition, which is bad for people who want to buy billboard space and on. So, thoughts?
You know, I don't like monopolies. You were talking about monopolies earlier.
With the union,
today,
right.
With the unions. You know, open it up. Come to a reasonable conclusion. We don't want, you know, 100-foot by 100-foot billboards lit up in the middle of, you know, a neighborhood or anything.
Right. But, and there are provisions to
prohibit
that.
And there are provisions
right.
to prohibit that. They just put some on East Bay where, you know, Kristen and I live, and they're smaller. They're sized for the road. You know, and they're advertising local businesses that, you know, some folks may not know is there, because not everyone,
right,
you know, can advertise on TV or the radio or newspapers.
I can't tell you how many times, and look, I'm a guy who's, part of my job is to kind of know as much as I can about the area. I cannot tell you how many times, if I didn't stop in that shopping center, I have no idea what's in there.
Right.
Because you drive past it. And yeah, a lot of times my wife going on our bikes, we are at bike speed, you see more things, right?
Yep.
And I'll be like, oh, you know, I didn't know we had that. But billboard advertising is a way to get people to learn about the existence of something that they otherwise wouldn't have known about. But if it's overpriced because you have monopoly,
Right.
You know, or it's just you don't want to buy a digital or whatever. So
I think that, well, obviously having been the CEO of a Chamber of Commerce for so many years, I'm always thoughtful of ways that we can help businesses. Mm-hmm. In any community, whether it's Navarre, Pensacola, Pace, you have to have a good mix of residential and business to support why people want to live in those areas. And we already know that there are enough challenges and restrictions in place for small businesses. Marketing and advertising is a huge one of those, especially when you're starting out. And so when you can remove a monopoly, have more competition out there to make some advertising opportunities or marketing opportunities more achievable for small businesses and local businesses, then I think that's always a good thing. And when you put the protections in place, like Dave said, to make sure you're not having these huge monstrosities that are also a nuisance for homeowners and things like that, then it's good all the way around.
Yeah, if you have a little bit less regulation that opens it up for competition, that's not the same as saying no regulation at all. And right. You know, I think that sometimes gets portrayed as a kind of the false alternative or whatever. And by the way, the two big billboard companies just merged.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget which way the transaction went, but one bought the other one or acquired the other one. And so it's really not even two in a kind of a duopoly sense. It's now right. Just the one. And not from bad intent by them necessarily, but just the practical outcome of not having the available opportunity to put in new ones. It's 8:56 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for us.
Lillian Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. Taking a look on the west side. And if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, I'm going to ask a non-Navarre, non-Santa Rosa County question because it's been in the news this week, and it's one of these that I struggle with because I don't really know what I think about this. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, the Obama-era program that basically forgives, ignores, allows people who were brought here as kids, non-citizens of the United States, brought here by their parents illegally to stay in the United States. Kids who have been here and now are adults, you know, have been here 15, 20 years, have grown up here, have known nothing else. They don't have papers. They don't have Social Security numbers. And, you know, they might get ID cards in some cases where that's allowed, but they are not citizens of Mexico or Guatemala or Colombia, but they are not citizens of the United States either, not legally. What do you do with them? I struggle with this because it's not the kids' fault. And so, though I hate incentivizing or rewarding illegal immigration in any way, it's not the kid's fault. And we've got a human being who only knows America as their home. What do you do with that?
Well, you know, we need folks to come in and work.
Absolutely.
You know? And as long as they're paying taxes like everyone else and they're doing their fair share for the community, you're right. These kids didn't ask to be dragged here. You can't keep a program like that forever.
Right.
You know, you need to put some restrictions on it. But, you know, give them the opportunity. If you want to be a citizen, you're all in. You're going to get a Social Security number. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to be a productive member of society. You know, look at everyone looking for people to work.
Right.
Drive by a construction site. Tell me who's building the homes, who's building the businesses, who's doing the road.
It's not people who look like you and me.
Exactly.
And they, you know, they're great at it, but it's jobs that Americans apparently don't want
Exactly. Based
on what everybody can see with their eyeballs.
Exactly. So, you know, you got to find a way to make them fully productive citizens of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are should be rewarded with being able to stay here and continue their life and be productive United States citizens.
And that's like typically my attitude towards immigration in general is we benefit so much from it. How can we have as much of it of productive people as we can possibly get?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're looking at this instance, you've got to weigh the child who
right. Could
potentially already be a young adult now. They didn't come here by choice. You know, they had no control over how they got here.
Right.
But how do we, like Dave said, help them become successful, productive citizens now?
And balancing that against all the other concerns, trafficking, drugs, people continuing to cross the border illegal and all of that, which I just don't think they're the same issue. That's why I kind of struggle with
yep.
that one. Dave Peach and Kristen Rhodes, thank you so much. It was so much fun today. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You're listening.